Take your Bibles and turn to the book of Luke, chapter 11. It's midnight, which means all the lights are out and everyone is supposed to be in bed, which means it's a no-disturb time. It's a no-bother time, which further means this is not the time to be knocking on a neighbor's door begging for bread. However, what we do read in verses 5 through 7 is this: which of you shall have a friend, and shall go unto him at midnight, and say unto him, Friend, lend me 3 loaves, for a friend of mine in his journey is come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. And he from within shall answer and say, Trouble me not, don't bother me. The door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed, and I cannot arise and give thee. But this friend, he keeps on knocking, he keeps on asking, he keeps on seeking until his friend gets out of bed, goes to the kitchen, gives him, as the end of verse 8 says, as many loaves as he needeth. This morning, our focus will be on believing that God truly answers prayer. And we will study effectual, persistent, God-answering prayer by looking at the following 3 points. Point number 1 is 2 examples of persistent prayer. Point number 2, our pattern for persistent prayer. And then our 3rd point, the ultimate prize of persistent prayer. 2 examples of persistent prayer. Obviously, there are numbers of men in the Bible who persistently prayed, and their prayers were answered. But let me give you 2 specific men, one from the old and one from the new. The man from the old is Jacob. Now, as Genesis 32 tells us, Jacob was to meet his estranged brother the next day. But Jacob was rightly concerned, for after all, he had stolen his brother Esau's birthright, and that was a big deal. So what would be his brother's response to him? Well, in his fear and great need, Jacob believed that he needed to get alone with God. If his life was to be spared, God would be the one to spare it. And so we read, beginning in verse 24 of Genesis 32, And Jacob was left alone, and there wrestled a man with him until the breaking of the day. And when he saw that he prevailed not against him, he touched the hollow of his thigh, and the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint as he wrestled with him. And he said, Let me go, for the day breaketh. And he said, Jacob said, I will not let thee go, except thou bless me. Notice that persistence. I will not let thee go, unless you bless me. And he said unto him, What is thy name? And he said, Jacob. And he said, Thy name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel, for a prince hast thou power with God and with men, and hast prevailed. And Jacob asked him and said, Tell me, I pray thee, thy name. And he said, Wherefore is it that thou dost ask after my name? And he blessed him there. And Jacob called the name of that place Peniel, for I have seen God face to face, and my life is preserved. My life is preserved. So, as we've just read, God did answer Jacob's persistent all-night prayer. God did bless him. And as Genesis 33 tells us, his relationship with his brother was restored. What a wonderful thing when, after much insistent prayer, a relationship is restored. Then a second man whose prayers were answered comes from the New Testament, and his name is Jesus. Over and over again, we read of our Lord going up into a mountain alone to pray. And these prayer meetings, I think, oftentimes lasted all night. He prayed to his Father. Jesus refused to faint. He refused to give way to sleep. And so he kept on asking, he kept on seeking, he kept on knocking. And we see this pattern of prayer before our Lord shows his disciples. Luke chapter 6, verse 12, and it came to pass in those days that he went out into a mountain to pray and continued all night in prayer to God. And when it was day, he called unto him his disciples, and of them he chose 12, whom also he named apostles. We also find our Lord persistently praying in the Garden of Gethsemane in Luke chapter 26, beginning with verse 36. And then cometh Jesus with them unto a place called Gethsemane, and saith unto his disciples, sit ye here while I go and pray yonder. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, and began to be sorrowful and very heavy. Then said he unto them, my soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here, and watch with me. And he went a little further, and fell on his face. And notice the persistence, notice the heart of this prayer. Oh, my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. And he cometh unto the disciples and findeth them asleep, and saith unto Peter, what, could ye not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit is indeed willing, but the flesh is weak. He went again the second time and prayed, saying, oh, my Father, if this cup may not pass from me, except I drink it, thy will be done. And he came and found them asleep again. Here Christ was about ready to die, and his disciples, rather than pray with him to see him through this ordeal, they slept. And he left them and went away again and prayed the third time, saying the same words. Luke 22:44 adds, and being in an agony, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was, as it were, great drops of blood falling to the ground, which all tells us that we do have a high priest who is touched with the feelings of our infirmities, who, as Hebrews 5:7 tells us, in the days of his flesh, offered up prayers and supplications with strong crying and tears unto him who was able to save him from death. And he was heard in that he feared, and so being made perfect. In other words, his prayers were answered. He became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him. And now, where is he seated? At the right hand of God, a place of power and authority, where he ever lives to make intercession for us. Which all tells us that persistent praying was effectual for both our Lord and Jacob. What wonderful examples. What wonderful examples. Well, we come now to our second point, and that is our pattern for persistent praying. Friends, Jacob's experience, our Lord's experience, his example, the friend at midnight's example certainly teach us that persistence, steadfast praying, is the pattern, the model for us if we are to see our prayers answered. I want you to look again at Luke chapter 11. Notice verses 9 and 10. And I say unto you, ask. When you see these words, ask and seek and knock, they're in the present tense. So really we could say, continue to ask, continue to seek, continue to knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. But please understand what our Lord is saying here regarding prayer, I believe, is more than just being importunate and persistent. He is actually saying, because of this man's shamelessness, this man was desperate. This man said, I must have bread no matter what. His friend will arise and give him as many loaves as he needs. Because of his boldness, his audacity, his gall, he will not take no for an answer. He will not stop asking. His friend will get up. give him all the bread he needs. For we're talking here shame to this man. Now, today we might say it this way, SMH, shake my head. Well, we're talking about a shake my head moment here. Amen? Shame to this man for waking up his friend and his friend's family at midnight to beg for bread. We're talking shame to this man who not only woke up his friend and his family, but disturbed as well his friend's neighbors at midnight to beg for food. We're talking shame to this man who ignored the passersby, who told him, be quiet. Can't you see that your friend's house is dark and everyone is trying to sleep? So stop bothering him. Stop asking him for bread. And we're talking shame to this man for waking up all the sleeping dogs to beg for food. And can we even imagine the constant, incessant barking that was taking place as this man kept on knocking and kept on saying, open up, I need bread for my friend who just came to me and I have nothing to give to him. But friend, Christ's lesson here is, be like the man who would not be shamed by his friend, by his friend's neighbors, by the dogs, or by anyone else. We are to shamelessly keep on asking. We are to shamelessly keep on seeking. And we are to shamelessly keep on knocking. Even if those around us, perhaps those closest to us, are trying to deter us, we are just to keep on praying, just keep on going boldly to God's throne of grace. Friends, if you and I are to see our prayers answered, we have to have the same heart as this man who went to his neighbor and begged and said, you have to give me food or else. The problem with our prayers today is there's no or little heart. We kind of go through the motions. We have this prayer list and we check off, okay, I pray for this person, I pray for that person. Friends, in our famine of life and peace and strength, our famine of joy and victory, we need to shamelessly beg God. For he not only has all we need, but he and he alone can give us all we need. My God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Which tells us we can't lose when we persistently pray. Does that mark how you pray? So why be shamed? What heavenly satisfaction comes to our hearts when God's divine doors at last are opened to us and the loaves are graciously given? Again, what an indescribable feeling is ours when after years of praying, midnight after midnight, shamelessly praying, desperately praying, with persistence and agony, the grace of God's heavenly favor begins to break through as God's door of loving goodness opens and we taste the strength and the sweetness of the bread of life that can only come from God's throne of grace. Let me ask you, do you know what that bread tastes like? I wonder if very many Christians actually know what that bread tastes like. I mean, we all have relationships in our lives, perhaps in our families, that are strained. Friends, if you are to see God give you the bread from heaven, you have to learn how to pray. And you have to believe that such praying matters. And how sweet it is then, how sweet it is, how holy and sweet it is. Friends, there's nothing like bread from heaven. And I cry, feed me till I want no more. The doors of heaven are finally open, and God's manna of victory is now filling the hungry, starving soul of the persistent and even shameless, desperate beggar. Friends, that is living. That is praying. That is to be our pattern of prayer. Is this how you pray? Friends, if you're going to get answers to prayer, this is how you have to. This is how I have to pray. I mean, this world is a mess. I mean, our country has lost it. We are so divided. God's people desperately, shamelessly need to begin to beg God for victory, for a change in our own heart. We need to believe this pattern of prayer works. Which brings us now to the ultimate prize of persistent prayer, which is point number 3. Just before he closes this chapter on prayer, Jesus addresses the ultimate answer of all persistent, relentless, shameless, desperate prayer, meaning what we should ultimately and shamelessly ask for. And yes, we still need bread. We still need meat. And God promises that he will provide for our every need. In fact, in Matthew chapter 7, he says that he will give good things to them that ask him. But let us remember, a man's life consists not in the abundance of things which he possesses. If that's all your life is, then you just have existence. You really don't have life. Friends, there's so much more to living than what we eat, what we drink, and what we put on. The truth here is our relentless prayer should be a shameless plea for God himself, for the Spirit of the living God, for his holiness in our hearts, for the death and destruction of sin in our souls. For faith in God is to believe that he is not only the rewarder of them that diligently seek him, but the reward. And so let us plead for love for Jesus, for love for our neighbors, for love for our enemies, for the total cleansing of our hearts of all bitterness and all hatred and wrath and strife and envy and evil speaking and pride and the idol of self. You know, it's called, the disease is called meism, which raises its ugly head throughout each and every day and keeps telling us that life is all about me, which then means we put ourselves in the center of every story. And if we don't see ourselves in the center of every story, then we like to take our toys and go home. Amen? When you have the disease called meism, self is always the main character. But friends, such thinking, such living only leads to dysfunction, disappointment, and brokenness. You and I are not self-sufficient. We cannot make it without the living God. Please know that Jesus came to decimate our misplaced loyalty so that we would find freedom from our bondage to self by walking in the Spirit and not fulfilling the lusts of the flesh. And yes, we can and we need to continually and earnestly pray for things, especially the things we truly need. After all, Jesus taught us to pray, give us this day our daily bread. But how much of Jesus do we really seek after? How much of him do we really want? Sometimes I think we want just enough to kind of soothe our conscience. But how much like him do we really want to become? Oh, let us pray with persistence. Oh, to be like thee, precious Redeemer, pure as thou art. Come in thy sweetness, come in thy fullness, stamp thine own image deep on my heart. Christ said in Matthew 6:6, "But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut the door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which is in secret shall reward thee openly. And then it will be said of you and said of me that the life, the love, the beauty, the spirit of Jesus are truly being seen." For as Christ states, as we go back to our text and we're almost done, Christ states in verse number 11, "If a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, will he give him a stone? If he asks a fish, will he give him a serpent? If he shall ask an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them who ask him?" Now, in this life, we get the foretastes of God's glory divine. I think of the words of that hymn, "Blessed Assurance, Jesus is mine." Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine, heir of salvation, purchased of God, born of his Spirit, lost in his love. But one day, the full harvest of all our shameless and persistent prayers will fully and completely be answered. And then we will hear this great voice out of heaven saying, "Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men." We have been, this last point, encouraging, challenging, admonishing you to pray for God himself to be your life, for his presence to be what is surrounding you as you walk through life. And one day, this great voice out of heaven will say, "The tabernacle, the dwelling place of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. There shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away." He that sat upon the throne said, "Behold, I make all things new." And he said unto me, "Write, for these words are true and faithful." Friends, I implore you, as I admonish myself, to go to your heavenly Father and friend, even if it's at midnight, and persistently and shamelessly and desperately ask and seek and knock, for such prayers will be answered. Such prayers will be answered. Remember, Christ said, "Everyone that asketh, receiveth; he that seeketh, findeth; and to him that knocketh, it shall be opened." Friends, believe that such prayer will be answered. Then you will say with Jacob, "I will not let thee go, except, Lord, you bless me." And then you will say with Jesus, "I will watch and I will pray." You know, I say this very kindly. When you and I pray, there should be a sense that we are literally talking to God. When we pray, we just kind of go through the motions. Friends, when we pray, we are literally talking to God. And might we understand that he and he alone is the one who is our provision for life, our answers to life's problems and difficulties and whatever come from him. And the biggest problem is me, is you. But Jesus can resolve that problem. So let us pray. I think of so many needs that this church body has. I mean, those who are sick, those who are suffering, those who have relatives who are going through just difficult times, those who have family members that are going through spiritual valleys. We need Christians that believe that praying by asking, seeking, and knocking works. If you believe that, that's how you'll pray. And God will show himself strong on your behalf.